Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited because this is a special show. Now, I know I've said that at least 500 times before, but this time I mean it. Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to, I'm in the garage, good to go.
It's good.
That's where I'm centered now.
In the garage. Well, don't worry, we're going to be back in the studio.
Yeah, we're getting back in the studio. This will be one of the last Zoom ones.
Yeah, we can't wait to do that. It's a whole different chemistry. We got a special guest today. You want to do the honors, Harry?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we got somebody. We always like having fascinating people on the show and people who have more than one gig, so to speak, and more than one lifestyle. And this woman is doing everything from fitness. She's done adult film. She's got an incredible backstory, and we want to get into all of it. The fabulous Sabrina Sedotti, everybody. Woo! Give it up.
What's up, hey. Sabrina? How are you? How are you?
Great. Thank you. You?
Thanks. It's great to be here. It's good to have you on.
Thank you.
I'm interested in digging in. Sedotti, okay. What's your nationality?
I'm Sicilian and Italian with a little tad bit of German.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, nice. Little mix, you know, feisty mix.
Little mix. I mean, and then again, aren't we all? I mean, aren't we all a little mixed anyway? But thanks for doing the show. I really appreciate you. You know, Lainey.
Thank you, too.
Lainey is my heart. She is the bestest.
Great to work with. Yes. Personality slamming.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Okay, so I am, let me see. I live in South Florida. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised here. Mm-hmm. And let me see, what else should I say? Born and raised here. I went to school here. I grew up with both of my parents. Mm-hmm. My parents from New York. Mm-hmm. My dad was affiliated with the real mob. You know, the real mob.
Okay. Yeah,
I like before, the delineation. Yeah, the real mob.
Before the technical aspect, put it all to bed. I always say the thing that put
it's so different. You know.
Well, you know, the thing was that you can't. It's almost, you can't communicate now without.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You had a close friend of mine, and they actually learned sign language, and they used to.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart. You have to watch everything that you say now, whatever you carry, whatever you do. It's just like, you know, it's just every single thing is like a crime.
Yeah. And then, you know, you got dumbass Giuliani with the RICO law. I remember that whole thing.
That law is a horrible, horrible law, because that blankets and gives you so much time. It's like the conspiracy law.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it literally is just something where they actually overturned all of his indictments, all the stuff that he did out at the South Street Seaport, because all the stuff that he was doing was so unconstitutional. And all those things that got him to be the mayor in the first place, which was his supposedly cleaning up South Street Seaport, was just him passing a law that was unconstitutional and illegally locking up people who he had no right to lock. Plus the fact that he also ended up locking up a bunch of people who had nothing to do with it. It was a way to squeeze them into, you know, saying things that they wouldn't have said, or things that they didn't even know for sure. Everybody was trying to save their
butt. People just sometimes talk to save their ass, whether it's true or not, because they're scared. They're intimidated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me, what was that like? I just ran. I just ran.
Really? Did you leave because of that? Or did you leave? Where were you exactly when all that stuff?
Well, I got in trouble. I got in trouble and incarcerated federal charges in 2007. Uh-huh. These were for drugs. Okay. And it was conspiring, which uh-huh. gave me more time than ever even having the drugs on right. me, you know? I did 121 months. I didn't cooperate. I got a obstruction of justice because I actually warned the dealers and I got busted warning them to watch out because right. I didn't question. So I got right. obstruction of justice, which gave me about three
wow.
more years.
Wow.
121 months. My math yeah. is shoddy. How many years?
I know. It's
10 years. 10 years.
10 years. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the old school. That's the old school. Shut your mouth. Do the time and shut your mouth. Now, did people take care of you when you, because you shut your mouth? Did you have people that looked at? No.
My mom did. My mom did it. And that's it, which that's great. That's wonderful. But the guys, they said, thank you in the toilet bowl, because that's how we would communicate. Mm. Like people don't know that. So women and men can't talk even if you're in the same facility or whatever.
Right.
But there's a way to communicate through the air vents and through the toilet bowls.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Right. So you have to lean into the toilet bowl.
So the one guy's like, oh, I heard. Thank you so much. I'm like, you're welcome. Yeah. Yep. Yep. But you know what? After I got out, I didn't want to communicate or associate with anybody that I basically was in trouble with.
Yeah, right.
I was done.
Now, was that whole the idea of doing your time and keeping your mouth shut, was that kind of instilled in you from the very beginning? Was that just because, you know, you don't get that. I mean, people snitch, you know, people get locked up and then they're out. And
people now are snitching all yeah. the time. And yeah. that's like a normal thing. Like, you know, yeah. Save your ass type thing.
Yeah.
But back then, I mean, okay, time has passed now. We're in 2021.
Right.
Okay. So I was daddy's girl. Being daddy's girl means that you grow up close to your dad and you pay attention, listen, learn. And that's how I was raised.
Right.
I was raised watching him.
Okay? Right. Absolutely.
People don't get it. Like, no, my mom, she's a great mom, still a great mom, but she wasn't like, okay, Sabrina, this is what you're supposed to do. And da, da, da. It was none of that. Right, it was just right. watch my dad, be a bad kid, you know, and just right. learn.
Right.
Like learn rough.
Yeah.
So did you get to experience any aspect of like a regular childhood whatsoever? Like you still went to prom?
What
and
is
stuff?
A regular childhood?
I don't know.
What is exactly?
Not, I guess, like, yeah, fair enough. But I guess.
I mean, okay. So I guess way back when, because I'm 46 now, way back when growing up, it was kind of like just go to school, come home from school, mom's home, she cooks food, she's a housewife. My dad would be out all day long. Work in the bookie, like the bookie stuff, you know, having the restaurant,
the
right? Whatever
up,
he's doing,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
doing it. He comes home at 8, dinner, bed, you know, and then chill out. So it was like very cut and dried.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't raised like let's go to the park or let's go do this, let's go do that. No, it wasn't like that. But we lived well. I mean, we lived good, you know, but it was more like different. It was different.
Yeah. Did you get to go to the prom or date at all? Like, I mean,
okay.
I,
so dating's not really. Like?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. No phone calls from boys. No phone. Because remember, we had the phones then that were on the wall,
Yeah. Right.
Like the regular, the old face yeah, phone. Yeah. You get a phone call. Hello. It's a boy. Click.
Yeah, right.
So, no, of course, my dad or mom didn't want us to date at like a younger age. You know what I mean? But we're curious. We're curious. We're kids. The hormones and all. And so basically, it's like kind of like I would want to experiment and run around and be like, I guess, an exploratory type teen.
Right. Well, just you're literally talking about any teen. I mean, any teen sexually curious. And so, I mean, you don't have to word it anyway. It is what it is. I mean, you know, if you're a little dude, you're trying to finger pop people and trying to get a little
stinky. First base and second base.
Yeah, so it's not, I mean, you know. It's an interest, you know, I guess that is normal. I mean, that's normal to want to explore your sexuality. But
we
not
didn't have
having
the computers or nothing. We had no computer, like, you know, no, right. none right. of this stuff, you know, so.
Right. Not that stops it from anyway, but what's interesting right. too is when you said, you know, I mean, I'm in my 50s. And so I understand there was no, you know, there was, if your kids didn't die, then you were a good parent. You know, if you right. they didn't get killed, then you were a good parent. So, but also there's this whole situation. What I tell young parents, and just parents in general, is that as much as people say, well, you know, like you're talking about, well, don't do this and don't do that. Yeah, you know, kids don't give a fuck about any of that. What they care about is what they see. It's what they see you do. It's what they see you do. It's so I'm curious, knowing that you know, saying that your mother was a housewife, are when you're
so
in a relationship.
Too. Are you right. It's a great question. No, I already knew. So I'm partial of like a housewife type, then partial of a gangster type.
Right.
So on any good given day.
right.
So I'll cook food, I'll clean, but then I'll, like, you know, I'll be raw and uncut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's sort of those things it's that you learn that, you know, when you think about it, and I say this all the time, when your kids are growing up, the epitome of what you see womanhood as is your mother. And the epitome of what you see manhood as is your father. No matter what you think is going on and all, you know, people go to therapy, it's what you say. So a lot of times you see people and they're in relationships that are very volatile or maybe even abusive and stuff, and they stay together for the kids. And I say all the time, what you're doing is you're teaching your kids this behavior. If they're watching this kind of abuse or whatever, or even if you're watching, you know, like a lot of times I'll counsel guys and they'll be real soft and the woman will be treating them like a punk or how they're nuts in the ring.
I can't do that. I feel that already. I can't handle that. Yeah.
You look like you'd eat somebody alive if he was a
punk. I would need to be to be with a man that's very, like, strong and intelligent and like can run the household, you know?
Yeah, you can see. I mean,
handle me too.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind is coming through your pores. You can see that. I can see that. By the way, so there's a level of strength. It's because you perceive a man to be a man in a very traditional way. And if you have a man who's in that traditional way, then it allows you to be who your mother was, which is this housewife. And so it's very, and it's interesting because I always say this to people and they, you know, you see people who will always say, well, I want to stay together for the kids. And I'm going, if you're going to stay together for the kids, the relationship that you have has to be healthy. Whatever it is, they're just going to repeat it.
They're going to pick up on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what you're saying. You can say all the horse shit you want to say. You can say all the horse shit you're going to say, but they're watching what you do. So if you're a guy and you're a pussy, you're acting like a pussy, your son is going to be a pussy. Not only is he going to be a pussy, but he's going to get a woman who is your wife, who is screaming and yelling and disrespectful to him. And they're going to complete this cycle and repeat it over and over again. And so the importance of you having your own shit together. I'm interested in something that you said, because, you know, when you have these kind of strong, just even in the culture of Italian, there's this is the housewife. You know, I've had a lot of Italian guys that would go, oh, I would never fuck my wife in the ass. You know what I mean? Like, that's the mother of my kids. You know,
they want to. Trust me.
How often does that get said, Dante? I've never heard that one.
Dude,
loud,
I've heard that.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying it's funny. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Sabrina,
like,
do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's so much. That's the mother of my kids. You know,
there's certain things that they wouldn't do because that's the mother of their kids and their minds a specific way towards it. But really, the mother of your kids or who you're with should be the person that you're able to explore. And, and there's a lot of things that men want that they don't even say. Right. Keeping it real. Yeah.
Right. But it's also it's also a situation where it there's this very distinct situation. So, I mean, I know in your history, you were an adult film star. How did was your dad alive?
That's a whole different twist.
Yeah. How did your dad take that?
Okay. So my dad was the type of dad, his personality, as long as I'm staying out of trouble, go, you know, okay. And as long as I'm happy, healthy, out of trouble and doing well. So I would never throw it in his face about the film work. He just thought Playboy this and, you know, adult, like nudie, sexy girl
sexy
type
stuff. Yeah.
He was like, go Neen. Yeah. Right. You know, he was proud. But then, so you have to know that my dad left the country and he was on the run for partial of my teens. So he was far away, you know what I mean? And then he really couldn't control or oversee or anything.
Now, so was he aware of it? Was it that you did full hardcore porn at some point in time, yes?
Yeah, so I started with doing the girl. I started with doing soft, and then I started doing the girl.
How old were you when
girl,
you started this? Just so we have the
about
time
24.
Frame. Okay,
24 years old.
Right.
Yeah, and I started with Jill Kelly, Jenna Jameson, all the girls. You know, we were all like the girls, and I did it way back when, and built a little name.
Right.
You know, and then I was in a relationship, and he and the gentleman I was in a relationship with was twice my age. And he actually liked the idea of his woman doing girl stuff like that. Uh-huh. That was to him like a trophy. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So because he liked my ex enjoyed and I enjoyed having a lifestyle that was casual and open and having a nice time.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Was that just girl or was it, how did he feel about it when it escalated to other?
After we broke up, I did the girl boy.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I really didn't want to disrespect him or cross the boundaries that he felt, even though we would play and do things in our personal lives. On film was a no-no, just the girl.
But you've played in personal life with other men as well.
Okay, so now the kicker is this. When I'm in a casual open thing going on, I don't prefer to be with different men. I prefer to be with my man, and I prefer other girls to join.
Okay, right. So
and
it's
normally
like,
he'll enjoy
it's like
that
what
too.
You call soft, it's soft swinging. It's like soft swinging.
Right. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, but in a situation where that is, now, is that's your preference that you just don't want to be, you don't want, are you into men or are you into men?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
So I'm into men. Yeah. Okay. but because of everything I've been through in life and my adult entertainment and everything, when I'm with a man, it's just about him. You know, it's actually a dynamic. It's so weird to explain because you would think that I would be like, oh, I get my choice of men. I get to do this and that. No. I'm just like, you know what? I'll find that one good man. And my turn-ons are actually just to be with that man and to have fun with him doing the other stuff, the girl stuff. That's now, just me too.
Are you all also into women, or are you into? Are you into? I mean, and I don't mean into women like okay, you dabble, but are you? Have you ever had a relationship with a woman?
I really have. So I've had a relationship with a woman when I was incarcerated. Does that count?
Probably yes, not. It kind of. Probably not.
Well, she looked like a boy.
Right.
And okay. And she was really nice. She's very nice. We were together for about 3 years. And yes, I do understand that when you're incarcerated, you're looking for, you know, a friendship and bonding and attention and blah, blah, blah. Would I have a relationship with a woman out in society? Now, that's a good question.
Right. That's now, what I was going to ask you.
It would have to be, if I was to ever say yes, it would have to be a dominant woman, very dominant, and like kind of like the structure of a man, like kind of like that whole
you're not into women. It's almost like saying, you know, it's certain guys will get what, you know, like you have guys who will have,
so
what, you know, the what they call the Asian fever, right? You know, when they talk about they, you know, guys are like Asians. And I'm always like, yeah, I'll get an Asian girl if she's got a fat ass and big titties. And then they're going, well, you don't really want an Asian girl. Do you know what I mean? Right. And so it's like, it's almost like you got it. You're picking this thing to kind of,
I know you're molding it and picking it, right? So my preference is men. Yes,
is men. Right,
but
still,
you do enjoy the sex with women.
Oh yeah.
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 Okay.
But with a man too. No.
Yeah, she's like yeah. I'm
46 years old. I'm like I kind of feel like I just don't have that drive to run around like, you know, hey, it's just so different now. You know, it's different, and I'm so focused on my careers and
different
magazine covers.
How do you feel it different? How do you perceive it as different?
Well, I'm going to say, so I just went and had my blood work done for my hormones and my levels and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm finding that I believe my testosterone wasn't low, but it was low enough that I can have a little bit of help,
and then
woman. So that's women with the estrogen and the test. And after I received my blood work, there was room to play around. And I noticed that my sex drive was like getting a little lower. So I knew something was wrong. I'm a hornball. I'm a Scorpio. Right. I'm an adult film star. So I'm like, wait a minute, something don't feel right.
Right.
You know, how can I say? I mean, I don't feel like I'm 25. You know, I feel like, you know, maybe I need some help, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think a lot of times we don't perceive that we, you know, it's only until you get older that you start to realize the balance of chemicals and how that stuff is. But I guess what I was saying, you said to me, it's so different now. I thought you were referring to generationally in terms of how people but you meant different
but
now because
too.
Of age. Yeah.
But that too, it's different. Everything is different now. Like I'm not going to go out to a club and find a man versus in my 20s, I might be more open and available to go and meet a man and have a drink and this and that. Now I'm like, no. Cause I don't even want to meet men at Whole Foods. It's like, I'm so like, how can I say? I'm guarded.
Why? Why so guarded?
Well, I'm guarding me because of, because of things that I've been through in my past relationships, which have been, physical abuse.
So you're talking about is trauma. Just basic trauma that you've gone through.
Some trauma.
Emotional
trauma.
And physical abuse that you've gone through that you've learned how to. How long ago was the physical abuse, or was it just sporadically throughout the course of your life?
It was during my relationship when I was engaged for 4.5 years and I was in my late 20s.
Oh, this was the older guy or?
This
or,
was my fiance. Yes. Okay. The older guy. This was like my only real a cut and dried relationship.
Okay.
Then I got locked up.
Okay. How old was this guy?
At that time, he was 55.
Okay.
I was between like 25, 26, 27, like 24 and 29 or whatever.
So let me ask you this. The when you talk about that abuse and you're talking about this as an older man who for some reason
took years.
Took years
to get over to like talk about it and stuff.
How long into the relationship did the abuse start?
Okay, so we were having a relationship for at least 3 years. And I noticed that, you know, that, you know, he was drinking a little more. We were having a good time and this and that. He was having a midlife crisis, and he really was. And he was actually running a fairly big company, had a lot of worth, you know, wealth. And I guess his way of handling things was, how can I say, taking out things on me when he was not completely satisfied or content with my reaction to certain things that he was doing, such as cheating. Bingo.
Okay, so he was cheating and your reaction to was you were angry because he was cheating.
While we were having an open relationship together, he would do his own things and be cheating and be sneaky when we do everything together. It was not
so it was, you had specific parameters to this relationship.
Of course.
And he went out of whatever the parameters of the relationship was.
Completely.
Now you're 24 years old. You're 24 years old.
24, 25, 26, all that. Yeah.
And so the fact that he went out of the context of this, the parameters of this relationship is what he made, what made him angry, or was it honestly a way of him to maintain control?
So no. So basically when I knew he was stepping out of the relationship, I knew I could not control him. So I basically told him, please wear protection if you're going to hire girls or be with women with, you know, and choose that. Be protected. Don't bring me home. Nothing. Okay. So then I would know because I would check the Trojan box. I would check the Trojan box and I would see that he'd use them. Okay. I'm fine. Quiet. I zip it up because I told him, if you want, use protection.
Okay.
Well, then it was on my birthday week. He actually invited girls on my birthday week. The day before I was going to arrive, he invited girls that I knew to join him and his friends and have a good time. So when I arrived the next day, it was kind of like a whole slap and a punch to the face. I'm just saying, when he felt like he had to tell me that he had people I knew join him and his friends, and he didn't want his friends to just blurt out and say stuff while we're having my birthday dinner.
Right. So that's what I was saying. So initially what I was saying is, so you find that this kind of physical abuse often happens because of personal insecurity. So because somebody feels as though they don't have control, the way that they institute control is with this kind of physical abuse, on and so forth. And then ultimately, and let's be honest, you're at 24 years old. And when
I was harmless. Yeah. I never hit him. Nothing. Never yelled at his face. Nothing. All I did was cry.
And that's hard because you're Italian. It's in you. You want to.
Yeah, but I never want to hit a guy. My dad taught me.
Yeah.
A man is much stronger. Don't ever hit a man.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Wow.
He told me that. Yeah. There are certain rules. Don't raise your hands to a man, because when a man raises his hands back, if he does, you're done.
Okay. Now here's the thing, but you still had a situation where even though you weren't raising a hand to him, he was raising a hand to you. He was still, you know,
choking me, strangling me, kicking, strangling, and everything. Yeah, it was really bad, bruises and stuff. But and that took years to basically speak about. I mean, it took a while because I loved him. You know, I could not believe when that all just took place, I was like so shocked. I mean, I could not believe someone that I loved, adored, growing with, I mean, just everything, you know, just would actually look in my eyes and strangle me. And I had to peel his hands off, you know. No, it was crazy. It was crazy. I see it still.
Right. Yeah, I could see that you, even in your in your face, you there's still that pain there.
Is it red?
No, but you can see the you know, your apprehension that you're talking about it, because I mean you've clearly talked about it and did some work on yourself to get through that.
Yeah, it took many years, and I finally all I did would do is cry about it and cry about it. But then after just one day, after like 4 years, I was able to share it and everything and then talk about it. And I feel like it's a good topic, you know, because women keep things very quiet at times, you know, and there and no one should be raising hands.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel as though... do you feel as though you deserved it? I mean, at some point in time, well, let me finish what I'm saying. At 24 years old, is so the abuse starts to happen. You right. end up with this abuse in a situation where it becomes, I'm assuming, fairly frequent. So one of the things that
it happened about three times.
Okay.
Three times in the relationship. After he did the strangling, I was leaving him and he wanted to go to counseling. I gave him this $30,000 ring back, pink ticket. And that was a promise ring. And basically, he wanted to go to counseling and try to make it work. And he's sorry and this and that. So here I am, this young girl. And I was like, you know what? Okay, let me try to make this work. That seems like one good step. Let's just see. You know, now I'd be like, no, hell no. Okay. Now I'd probably do a lot of things differently. You know what I mean? I'd probably plan out and get married immediately with no prenup and get up. No, okay.
Oh, now let me, but I guess what I'm thinking, so my experience is this, and I've done counseling and so on and so forth. And so when we talk about the physical, you know, you talk about that kind of physical abuse, never have I ever experienced a situation where things got physical and it wasn't emotionally abusive in the first place. And so what happens is the physical is just an escalation of the emotional abuse and the insecurity in itself. So he has these insecurities. So he's 55 years old. He's dealing with this 24-year-old smoking hot girl. In his mind, he's like, oh, I got the shit. We bring girls home. They fuck me. She's
living the life, you know?
Yeah, living the life. But what happens is, and I've said this to guys over and over again, a lot of times you'll be living this life, and deep down, because of your own lack of self-esteem, you don't think you deserve what you have. So it almost feels like you're what I call shoplifting the pussy. Like you're shoplifting. So you're always worried about getting caught. You're always worried about what day is she going to wake up and say that I'm not worthy of this woman. Who, right? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like,
a different way of thinking too.
It's such an abuse. So you get a situation where you're in this situation. So if he ran a business and there was a certain level of, you know, there's a certain level of prestige of that. But guys, just because you have money doesn't make you interesting. Just because you got a big dick doesn't mean you can fuck good. Just because of any of those things doesn't necessarily elicit love. So what I think is interesting is you find people who have defined themselves in a certain way, unbeknownst to you, especially unbeknownst to you at 24 years old, you're basically still a kid. You know what I mean? And this is your first
with a father who's out of the country. So I'm looking up to my man as like a figure, like a father figure, someone to look up to. Yeah.
Right. And he's ultimately in this situation trying to find this personal way of validation through business and through money and through this. Not only that, but you almost become a validation of his worthiness. It's like, look at me. I'm 55 years old. I'm successful. I have this trophy woman. Not only do I have this trophy woman, but I have this trophy woman and she brings other girls and we got friends and I got money and
I can swing, blah, 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 doing this.
But deep down, what happens is underneath all of that, you don't think you're shit. You really think you ain't shit. You got all this money. You got all this. But deep down, you know you ain't shit. And who knows you better than you? And so now you're in this situation where you have these things, but you don't think that you're worthy of it. And so subconsciously you start to sabotage it. You do things to sabotage it because you don't think you're worthy. And then you as a 24-year-old is in this situation where you are so naivete and young and, you know, and you're missing your dad and there's all of this stuff that's going on and you're unaware of this. And now this abuse happens. To a certain extent at that age, don't you take on that abuse as if you start to feel like that's what you're worthy of? You know what I'm saying? You're the silence that you keep. So there had to be emotional abuse first, which emotional abuse.
There was emotional abuse because I remember now thinking back, there were times where I did not want to include another woman. I did not want to do certain things.
And you did it for him.
Well, no, I remember him saying specifically he would be very upset about it and like he'd find ways to manipulate me or try to be like, listen, I don't love you. Like there are certain things that he would do and say to make me feel.
And then you'd have to try to prove your love to him via.
I don't know. I would just feel like shit. You know, I'd be crying. You know, I'd be like, oh my God. Oh God, he doesn't love me anymore. Like it's just all that game back and forth. You know?
That's the abusive stuff we're talking about, Dante, where you go that the physical abuse is always includes also emotional abuse too.
Yeah. It's never one thing or the other. So that's why I was digging to that, to the point
where
you
start. Yeah. And that's why I was trying to think. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's no way, you know, it's one thing if you don't remember it, but at my experience goes, it's always, there's never not the physical. Nobody chokes you first out the gate. There's always the there's the emotional abuse. I used to say this about O.J. Simpson. First you yell at her, then you call her a bitch, then you choke her, then you punch her, then you kick her, then you hit her with a chair, then you cut her head off. But nobody goes right to cutting her head off. It's just not what you're doing. Right. So, but then this, and ultimately, you know, there's this thing I always, you know, people say hurt people, you know. And then at 24 years old, you carry this trauma at somebody who really doesn't have the maturity that you have now. Good.
So by this time I was like about 28 as the time goes by. So I, you know, started the film work around about 23 or 24 doing softcore. Then I met him around 24 or 25 and then we started. And then I was doing the softcore with Jill Kelly and Jenna. And then in the relationship, more as we were getting in depth, and it was just more of like a routine. I felt like we need to work on us as well. It can't always be on the weekend, we're doing this or we're doing that. Da, da, da. We need to do things us, our relationship. And I think that's when, after like years that went by, He, because I was growing, they're called growth. And when I would actually suggest it's about our relationship, I think that confused him because he's used to being the one saying, make the call or let's have a girl or let's do this. Da, da, da. The more I was growing and maturing, I think that's when he was getting confused. Like, wait a minute. I'm not going to be able to control her if she keeps wanting.
I don't think it's so much. So here's what I find also that happened. And you tell me if I hit the nail on the head, that ultimately when you're under that kind of abuse, you don't mature. There's this need to see things differently, to grow, and to kind of understand, you know, real intimacy and real kind of personal growth. But you don't grow. So it's the same thing. Like I noticed about dudes that I knew that got locked up. Getting locked up is a whole other, is a whole set of rules. And so, you know, it's like that old movie where the guy comes out, he's a pimp, he gets locked, and when he gets out, he's wearing the same outfit. You know, he's wearing the platform shoes with the goldfish in the platform shoes, and he's coming out with this purple hat coming out, when the reality is that there's been no growth. Dudes that I know that went and did, you know, got sent up north and they got out. When they got out, they were talking that same shit that they were talking when they went in. So I totally agree.
I don't know why. Okay. So I feel like when I was in the relationship still, I grew because I did not take his shit. Meaning as soon as he put his hands on my throat and kicked me this and that, I was ready to leave him. Now he wanted to go to counseling and that's fine. But guess what? I decided not to stay in the relationship, and I left.
Yeah, but you also have to understand. You have to understand the physical abuse is the epitome of the abuse. It's the peak. So what you have to also kind of own is that you dealt with the abuse from the first moment that it was abusive, and you put so it's more like it's the straw that broke the camel's back, as opposed to when he put his hands on me, I said I'm done, because that's not really true. The problem is that the abuse had been going on from the probably
different types of abuse, right?
Yeah, right. I would imagine that the abuse was going on from the inception of the relationship.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know, I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
It's sort of like when you find a guy that's a pedophile, right? He is a, so how do we know he's a pedophile? Because there's always other incidents of pedophilia. There's never, it's like Lay's potato chip. You're just not fucking one kid. You need a whole bag. You want a whole bag full, right? You can't
stop it.
You're
right, though.
So the abuse that somebody gets
like
to the point.
Like an addiction.
Right. It's an addiction. It speaks to the
mental,
It also speaks to the constitution of the human being that you're dealing with. And so what I'm saying, as much as I'm saying you got to the point where you like, I'm out of here. I think what you got to do too, in order to kind of free yourself, is to understand that this abuse was going on from the inception of the relationship. When you were 24, first of all, it's a 55-year-old guy.
Right. So you're saying the whole basic guidelines.
The whole basic. And I'm not saying, because I'm 55, and I'm not saying that has to be the case, but I'm saying there is something to the fact that
the dynamic of the relationship regarding the age and everything.
Of you being the validation of your existence in my life validates me as a man at 55 years old. And so that abuse goes on and on and on, and it's this and this. If somebody's looking at you and telling you, I don't love you, like, that is worse than somebody choking you.
I know.
It really is.
It hurt really bad.
And I'm quite sure he's done multiple things where verbally it was a way to break you down and keep you, which is what I was saying in the first place, which was this control, this constant control and this abuse that goes on. And then all of a sudden you get to the point where he keeps pushing the boundaries until you get choked. And then you go, okay, it's time for me to go. But there's 4 years.
Gotta go.
Yeah, but there's 4 years of abuse of bringing you down and lowering your self-esteem and not really treating you it with the value of the person that you are, the kind person that's inside, the person that you want to be.
After I left him, I was devastated. Even though I left him, you think it's turning over a new leaf, right? No, I was devastated. I sold my house. I moved. I was like, just like wanting to run away.
Right.
Then I started doing drugs. And then I started, that was my way of escaping. That's it, point blank. Okay.
Right.
I didn't want to feel pain.
Right.
And I ran and I, you know, had, I mean, I wasn't stressed out regarding a monetary or financial,
mm-hmm.
but I was stressed out on an emotional, and I basically would just want to numb that. And so that was my whole deterioration and fall of who I was. And then I was around the wrong crowd with the drug charges, like around drugs and stuff. And that's right. How I got in trouble.
See, I think the other thing is too, that I think this, a lot of times we don't acknowledge also that, you know, the drugs and drinking and drugs and the hanging, all of that stuff becomes where we're trying to numb. You're trying to numb this pain. But the reality is that it's like, on a conscious level, we know that this behavior is not productive, right? So then the question is, why are we acting on behavior that is non-productive? We're doing it anyway, right?
And I think, was on my own, and that's all I knew how to do.
Right, but it's,
I was just on my own. Yeah, it's also
not just self-medicating, but it's also self-abuse. Because at some point in time, you got to come out of this.
You're right. Yeah,
so the deeper you dig the hole, the deeper you got to climb out of this hole. And so on a conscious level, even at 24 years old, you understand that this behavior is not healthy behavior. And
right.
So we get so accustomed to being with an abusive man who's emotionally abusive. We get to the, you get to a point where it becomes physical, and then you decide to leave. But then you basically put yourself in a situation where even though he's not there to abuse you, you start abusing.
I abused myself. So
right,
what
right.
I did is I sold my home. I had money in the bank. I was on in a penthouse in Bell Harbor on the beach. And I was just like chilling out, and I abused myself. That's right.
Right,
because
right.
I felt pain, and that's what I knew to do. And that was the choices that I make. And when I deal with bad breakups, I have a tendency to do that. And that's my makeup.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, did you also get into other relationships, casual or not, that were abusive? I mean, did you find this, that you were the trend was to be around
after him? I got locked up.
Okay.
After him, and I started doing the drugs. I was around the dealers and everybody and this and that. Then I got locked up around 31.
Uh huh.
31 years old, and I did my 8 years in 1 week. Yeah.
Okay.
So my whole 30s in prison. So I had to deal with, get over, work through a lot of things, work through the relationship in the past,
right.
work through the incarceration, work through the dad being away, you know, on the run. I had to work through kind of like a lot of different type of things, and I had to work on me. So
right.
while I was in there, I worked on me.
Right.
Big time. Yeah.
Right. Harry, you wanted to say something?
Well, no, because before we run out of time, I wanted to get into how all this leads into the fitness world, because you kind of, this all kind of is on a linear path that makes sense.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there's a sort of
for health
sharp
and fitness.
Right turn
well,
in
no,
a good
the,
way.
The fitness was when I was locked up. Now, I always knew that I wanted to be a personal trainer, right? Okay, great. So now when I was locked up, I decided to get my personal training certificates and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And then
while you're
I
locked
knew,
up.
While I'm locked up.
Wow.
So I would actually be a
person. Who did you
trainer.
Get certified to? Who? Ask me or
IFSA. IFSA.
Okay.
And then I actually was a personal trainer for girls on the inside too, and helping them to keep their weight down because they all gained weight in there.
Yeah,
and
it's nothing but carbs.
Horrible.
You ain't eating nothing but carbs
the
and
commissary
shit.
And the sugar and everything.
Yeah. Right, right.
So I helped girls. They were happy, ecstatic, and everything. And I worked out like twice per day. I got out. I got two little jobs. And then I decided to get approval from the court. And I started my first company when I got out. Well, my first as I got out. And I actually, from that, I was able to, I did the Cover of Muscle and Fitness Hers.
Nice.
I
awesome.
Just did that in May. I've just been working on myself still for like the past 5 years. Still, because I got out in 2015.
Okay.
March. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's, Harry, we're going to do something for the Patreon, the behind the scenes. Can you hang out for a little while and we do a little more and dig into this a little bit more? Okay. what can you plug? What do you want to plug? Your social media or anything?
What my IG?
Anything and everything you want to plug.
My OnlyFans, my IG.
Whatever.
How do you reach your OnlyFans? How do they reach your OnlyFans, and what do you provide for OnlyFans?
Yeah, well, my OnlyFans, I provide everything. Everything meaning I'm in the DMs. I have videos, photos, custom vids. I do video chats, Skypes, and everything. What else? And basically, on the wall post of the OnlyFans, there's a lot of like XXX for free. So they get a lot of free stuff if they renew as well. So, and
do you do like sex videos and stuff?
Or I produce my own sex videos. No. It's all adult.
Okay.
Unless somebody specifically asks me for a workout yoga type thing.
Okay. All right.
In yoga pants.
Harry, good.
You can go to my stuff at Harry Turjanian. That's where all my information is. You can find, at Harry Turjanian, and just check out the Man School 202 YouTube page and check out some of my stand-up comedy on YouTube. It's good stuff.
And everything with me, you can check me out, DanteNero.com. If you want a one-on-one consultation, go to DanteNero.com, click on consult, and you can talk to me directly, and I'll put you straight. Don't forget the Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon if you want to get this behind the scenes stuff. We appreciate support us so we can keep doing what we've been doing. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all, man. We are out.